This is an interview taken for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is taken with Mrs. Judy Eastwell of Blacktown. And the date is the 5th of March, 1992.
My name is Judith Eastwell and I live at 36 Layla Road, Quakers Hill. I was born on the 14th of September 1945 and my nationality is Australian. I am married and I have three children.
Right, so first of all I'll just ask you a few background questions. How long have you lived in Blacktown?
I have lived in Blacktown area for approximately 33 years. Mm-hmm. I have spent 15 years in Canberra and the rest of that time I have lived in this area.
Right, you were born in this area, were you?
I came to this area when I was two.
Oh, right. Good. And what kind of work did your father do?
My father was postmaster of this post office.
and you're following in his footsteps?
Yes.
Right. And did your mother work at all?
Yes, my mother worked nearly all her life. She actually, her working life was finished off here in this post office, mm-hmm. and she was forced to quit after an armed robbery, and she just couldn't face the thought of ever coming back again. Mm-hmm. But before that, she always worked as an accountant or dealt with figures.
Nice. So even when you were small children, did she work then too?
Worked all her life.
She,
yes.
As well as
six
really
children. She had, so it was very hard to sort of manage on one wage back in those days.
So you were one of six children?
The eldest.
The eldest.
The eldest.
Right. So did that mean you had lots of responsibility?
Most definitely.
And so what would your first memories of this area be like, your first impressions of this area?
Well, I have an excellent memory and I remember things back beyond ages that people say that you should be able to remember, but my earliest records of this area was I lived in Layla Road, mm-hmm. which was a dirt road when I first moved, well, from when I remember. Up the road from our house there's a big hill and I remember riding my scooter down the hill and up the hill and never seeing a car. And as it's the main dragway these days, of course you can't even cross the road without having to pause. Mm. So that road in itself has come a long way.
No.
Something I remember really well.
And what about the landscape? Was it more bush and
oh, yes.
the houses were very sparse?
You didn't, except for what we call the area of the village, which is bounded by Layla Road, Highfield Road, Pierce Road, and those three basic roads and Pye Road, most people lived in that area, in the village. And over this side of the railway line, you didn't have a house next door to another house. There was always a big gap
in between.
And my father, when he first took over the post office, he always remembers, or he always recollects, when the first day he started work, it's a bit of a standing joke in our family, that he turned up for work at 8:30 to open the post office, and the postmaster that was retiring said, "Why weren't you here at 5 o'clock?" And he said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, you should have been here to take the mail off the train because you've got to deliver the mail before you open." And nobody had told my father about that, and he thought, well, how is he going to deliver the mail, because he's got he knew where a lot of people lived, but he didn't have any maps or numbers. So he set off that night after he finished work and went around and did a little map of how he was going to deliver, and there was 350 homes in Quakers Hill. So
really? And
yes.
When would that have been, what year?
About 1950, I'm not too sure.
Yeah,
around about 1950 or 1951.
Yeah. Mm. So things have really changed since then.
Oh yes.
And what sort of house did you live in?
We lived in a two-bedroom weatherboard home, with a front veranda with blinds, and my sister and myself slept on the front veranda and never thought anything of it. Winter, summer. And from there, because we eventually became a family of six children, we moved to from Lala Road to Douglas Road, which is this main road here, and moved into a bigger home when I was 14. So I didn't want to leave my other house, but I didn't have any choice.
And in this weatherboard house, did you have an inside toilet, or
No.
You wouldn't have had the sewer?
Oh, no. On a quarter acre block, the toilet was about 10 feet off the back fence. And I live next door to where I originally lived.
Now?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. Still the path that I helped my father lay, the concrete path, down the middle of this backyard, but there's no toilet, of course, there.
Oh, right.
The house is gone. But oh, yeah. It was purchased by someone and taken off and put on another block of land somewhere. I don't know where.
So it wasn't demolished?
No, it wasn't demolished. It was taken off, and another house was bought and put on the block.
Really?
Mm. So they did that when I was in Canberra, so I was it's quite pleased I never saw that, because I always used to go past and think, on one of these days I'm going to buy that house back and live there.
Yeah, so it is a bit sad to see these old landmarks go, especially
That's right.
when they've been part of your life.
That's right. Yeah.
And so in those days when you lived there, and I suppose also when you moved to Douglas Street, what would your mother's daily routine have been like?
My mother's daily routine... Now, when my mother had just us three girls, she started working on the telephone exchange here in Quakersville with my father. And I remember her being pregnant with my three brothers and working up until the day she went into labour on the telephone exchange, yes. And then after that, she continued to work here, and I remember bringing her down to meals of the night while she worked till 10 o'clock. But back in those days, the exchange closed down at 10 o'clock, and there was... you couldn't make a phone call between 10 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning because, sometimes you had a night boy and other times you didn't. I think you had a night boy Friday and Saturday night or something. So if there was an emergency in Quakers Hill and you wanted to get somebody to, a doctor or an ambulance, well, you had to get a car and go to Blacktown to phone.
Really?
Mm.
And there weren't any hospitals close by either, I suppose.
Well, there was a tiny private hospital in Blacktown, but most of the time people went to Parramatta Hospital.
So that would be... And a lot of people wouldn't have had cars too, I suppose.
No. My parents didn't have a car for many, many, many years, but my father eventually, when he first started the post office, had a push bike, and then it was a bit slow because he was struggling to get back here by 9, so he had a motorbike.
But he delivered the mail by push bike, did he?
He did deliver the mail by push bike originally, and then he purchased the motorbike and did it on the motorbike. So.
And so, what did your mother do apart? How did she get on with raising the children? Did you do
well,
a lot
Well, she
of
was
that?
Very lucky that she had three daughters. I always recollect someone saying to my mother one day that she'd done a beautiful job of raising six children. And a very good friend of the family said, oh no, she did a very good job of raising her girls, but Judith raised the boys. So it's a bit of a...
The boys were younger, were they?
Yes, mm. I was 10 years older than the first boy and 13 years older than the last boy. So, in fact, I had to leave high school. And Jeff was born on the 8th of November, and I was pulled out of high school to look after my mother. My mother was very ill after she had my last brother. And I didn't go back to school the following February. And I remember back in those days we washed sheets in the copper, and we had a hand wringer, and I did all the washing. So
you
I must.
Dinosaurs in the backyard.
Pardon?
You made dinosaurs in the
backyard. So your mother was really lucky to have
Oh yeah,
here.
I think so.
And and.
But by the same token, we were very lucky to have her.
Yeah. And what did she do for shopping?
Shopping over on the corner is the Australian Real Estate Office. There used to be a general store there. Over on this corner here where the Gary Neve Real Estate is, there was a general store there. And the original post office was on the corner where the chicken shop is. And over the other side of the railway line where the vet is, that used to be the butcher's. So I'm quite sure that Mum basically shopped in Quakers Hill.
Right.
Because she didn't have time.
No. Would she have had deliveries or would she have had...
Yes, I think McGarrahers used to deliver, and after that Hoppy Basil ran the store and he used to deliver. And I know that Christmas time, if my mother wanted to do Christmas shopping for us, she always had a day in Sydney. That was a really big deal, you know. She went off out for the day.
Just for Christmas shopping.
Just for Christmas shopping, yeah.
So your mother did all her shopping locally except for Christmas shopping.
Yep. And then eventually, I know then my mother started shopping in Parramatta because the stores started to grow in Parramatta. And in fact, I think I was telling you the other day on the phone, the other night on the phone, I always distinctly remember my mother going to Parramatta to buy my birthday present for my 14th birthday. And while she was gone, my four-year-old brother set fire to the shed. And while they were out off shopping in Parramatta, I was putting out a fire. And, you know, I always remember the trauma of it all. And it was all my fault when Mum and Dad came home that he had found some matches. Well, I don't know where he found the matches, so... They used to be hidden, so.
Mm.
But we needed them to light the chip heater for our bath, the copper for our hot water. And I remember it was a really big deal. All of a sudden, we didn't have the chip heater anymore. We had a hot water system where you push the button on and push another button off, and water used to go through and run into the bath, and we had running hot water in. And it wasn't boiling hot in the bathroom anymore. I really remember the heat.
And what about doctors in the area? Were there any local doctors?
No. Our local doctor was Dr. McKenzie in Blacktown, which was a husband and wife. I do recollect going to originally a dentist in Parramatta when I was quite young, and then eventually going to dentists in Blacktown. So I presume there weren't any dentists in Blacktown in those days. But our doctors were always in Blacktown, and I was quite a sickly child. So I was at the doctor a lot. And in fact, like thinking back on my memory, I used to get a lot of gastro infections, I presume, because back in those days there was no sewage. I presume that. But I also had very bad tonsils, so it's probably a combination of both. But I always remember I'd been in bed for a week and the circus was in Blacktown, and it was such a big deal. And the circus was in Francis Park long before they put up rugby league posts and things like that. And so they were taking us to the circus, and it was a great outing. And by this stage, my father did have a car. And we got to the circus, and I went over and I was standing there watching the elephants, and that's the last thing I remember. I fainted. And Dad had gone to park the car, and Mum had taken all of us children over to see the animals before he went into the circus. And Mum was thinking, what will I do? And my doctor walked past. She said, "Doctor, quickly, it's Judith, it's Judith." And he came over and he said, "Oh, I think this might be a bit too much." Oh, she really wanted to see the circus. And he said, "Hang on a minute, I've got something in my car that'll make her feel better." And I don't know if it was some sort of glucose lollies, but it was something that he mixed up and I drank. And I felt much better, and I was able to stay and see the circus. Because I didn't want to go home, I wanted to see these elephants. Mum always said...
Well, lucky,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was. But, you know, that's how friendly and how casual...
Yes.
Things were back in those days. It's sort of changed a little bit these days. There are definitely no doctors here.
So, did you actually have the phone on at home?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
So you were one of the few
Quakers
houses?
Hill 89.
So that means you were number 89 to get the phone on,
was it? I would say probably yes, but it was. It started off as 100 phone switchboard. So we were Quakers till 89, and my father still has 89 on the end of his number.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, 6269289. So.
And what about household appliances? Did your mother, she obviously had fuel stoves and coppers and things, did she have any...
No, my grandmother had a fuel stove all her life, who also lived in Quakers Hill, and she cooked the best cakes in the whole area, definitely, and apple pies and, you know. But my mother, I can never recollect having a fuel stove.
Oh.
She had an electric stove. So.
What about vacuum cleaners and electric jugs and toasters and that sort of thing?
I remember the lay-down toaster and the old ceramic jug, electric jug. And I've got an idea that my mother even had an old Mixmaster, you know, the really old ones, and she used to... Because we used to spend Sunday cooking.
Did you?
Especially in winter, we'd be cooking cakes and tarts and things like that, and that was for us for school through the week. Yeah, yeah. So she used to cook for the whole week.
Did she make jams and things like that as well?
A few times. My mother really loved fig jam, and she couldn't convince any of her children to like it. But we had a fig tree, so. And I can remember she made a really nice plum jam, but. My grandmother, being so clever in anything like that, Nana, you always seemed to be the one that would provide us with the pickles and the jams and the eggs. And Nana had ducks and chooks. And interestingly enough, I always remember when my children were little, and I bear in mind I'm the oldest and my children are the oldest grandchildren, that my Nana, my children didn't know what to call her. And everybody in our family seemed to be Nana. So they had Big Nana and Little Nana and the other Nana, but this Nana in particular was called Chookie Nana. And they still talk about Chookie Nana to this day. And, you know, she died 14 years ago and she was 84 years old, but she was a very well-known identity in this area too. So... but you couldn't go past her cooking. You gave us a choice between Mum's and Nan's cooking. We were always at Nana's. She made really different things, you know, like ginger cakes and banana cakes. And whereas my mum would make little cupcakes and ice them. But we just thought it was much better to have some ginger cake with ginger icing. And they both had their specialities.
And so when you were growing up, your mother had her own mother close by too, so you had a good...
Two streets away.
...family network.
Yes, yes.
Which
was interesting because my mother's parents were actually divorced when my mother was 5 years old in 1925. And that was a big no-no back in those days. But they lived out in the country and... nobody really knows why they divorced, but I do know that my grandmother had 8 full-term pregnancies to have 3 living children, and she had a very hard life, and she had 2 boys that survived, and my mother was her only girl that survived. And so my mother had to put up with... a tug-of-war between her parents. They lived 80 miles apart, and the only transport back in those days was horse and zolky. And so periodically, my grandmother would drive from Condoblin to Ungerry in a horse and zolky and pinch...
Where?
From Condoblin to Ungerry.
Ungerie.
And Pincher. And 80 miles and Pincher, and then she'd take her back to Condoblin, and then the next thing you know, my grandfather would go and pinch her back. So... they got back together when my mother turned 18, and it's interesting because my mother was always probably closer to her father, but she loved having a mother around. But my nana watched, I suppose she tried to give that time and love to us three girls that she never could give to her own daughter, because her own daughter wasn't around. So it's really, really interesting, because as I said to you, I'm doing my family tree, so it's it's really interesting, a lot of things that I pick up on that people speak to me about. So.
And so what was the main mode of transport here when you were a child? It was the train,
I suppose.
Train,
yes.
Was that it?
Yes. Interestingly enough, driving, growing up around here, all my girlfriends rode horses, but we never did because we couldn't afford one. So it was always the train.
And you walked a lot, I suppose.
Yes. All right on our push bikes. And I actually lived over that side of the railway line and went to Quakers Hill Primary School, which is quite a long way away.
How did you get there?
We got there by taxi, which cost a penny a day.
Ah.
And Auntie Thel, her father was a taxi driver. And he had a dicky seat in the back of his car. And so he picked up so many kids. I tell a lie when I say I went every day. I went on a rainy day in the taxi. So we weren't allowed to ride our bikes when it was raining. So we went in the taxi those days.
You rode
cost
bikes?
A penny, yeah.
A penny a day.
A penny a day.
And so what was the traffic like then, getting to school? I don't suppose there was much.
Non-existent. And we weren't allowed to cut across the railway line, but a lot of times we did, because we could save ourselves 20 minutes. So, and now these days, the straight route that we used to take straight to the school, with the new roads, has cut off the direct route to the school that we used to go.
Got to go a lot further.
Oh, yeah.
And did you go to high school?
I went to Blacktown Girls High School, which was actually Blacktown High School, which was a co-educational high when I first went there. I started there the second year it was opened. And I went there for 2 years as co-ed and 2 years as a twin school, girls and boys separate.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that was very different, but I hated boys, so I thought it was great when it became a girls' only school.
And what did you do after school? Did you work straight away?
I used to, I could always remember at least once a week, Mum had given me a note, and I have to do some shopping for her in Blacktown. Maybe it was to buy some sewing cotton or different things like that, I vaguely remember. And that I had to get a note and carry it around Blacktown in case any of the teachers saw me still there in my school uniform. It was rather sad, we used to get out of school at 3:05 and our train didn't go till 3:50. So their idea was, they didn't want us hanging around the station, so we went in onto something which was called Richmond Line Detention. We weren't really on detention, they just detained us till 3:30. And then we walked down and catch the train. So I used to have to produce a note if my mother wanted me to do some shopping to let me out of school at the same time as everybody else, and go and do that shopping and hopefully still get on the same train. I would come home, my three brothers would have been playing in the back of the post office, and I'd get them and I'd take them home. By the time I would get home, I would have, by the time my parents got home, I would have tea on. And my three brothers bath. Yeah.
So you didn't have much time for playing or recreation?
No.
And what did you do in the school holidays?
Well, I'm a reader. And at least once a week we used to have, we used to call them expeditions. And my best girlfriend and my sister, my next sister to me, Terry, we'd take off on our bike with a picnic. But that was only if Mum was off that day. You know, if she wasn't on a shift, like with the switchboard. And she was always off one day a week. That was the day we'd have our expedition, and that was our, great. And we actually, I don't know if you know Marion very well, but there was this great big hill there, and it was always called Quaker's Hat because it was in the shape of a Quaker's hat. And that's actually now where Marion Heights Primary School is. And we used to love going there and going, sitting on the top of the hill and having our picnic and rolling down. I don't know why we rolled down, but I remember we thought that was great fun. and or riding right up the top of High Road, and there's a hill there, and just having a picnic there as well. But or we'd ride to Riverston, see my cousin, play records with him. It was great. He had a record player, so.
And you didn't actually go away for holidays at all, in the school holidays, to the beach or anything like that?
Not when I was extremely young, but I remember going away for my first camping holiday when I was about maybe 10, and we went to Tookley at the Central Coast. It took us 3.5 hours to get there. And
by train or?
No, by car. Mm-hmm. And my father didn't even have a roof rack, trailer. He had a roof rack, and everything was packed on top of the car. And I remember we did that for a couple of years. And the second year that we went up there, as we went around a really bad bend, the roof rack came off the car.
Oh, no.
And my father and I were even talking about that last Christmas, while we were at Tookley. We still go to Tookley. And then ultimately we progressed to Dad got a trailer. And then he bought a frame of a very, very small caravan, and he fitted it out so that there was a single bed one end and a table the other end, which converted to a double bed. So whoever was the baby at the time always slept in the caravan, and the rest of us still slept in the 18 by 12 foot tent next to the caravan. I mean, they didn't have annexes in those days. And then gradually they progressed on to having a bigger van with an annex, and we also have a van with an annex, and we still all go to the same place because we love it.
Oh.
Every now and then
it has
we...
happy memories.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And it's peaceful.
And did your mother belong to any community organisations or anything like that?
Both my parents did. My mother and father, I can't quite remember what rank either of them held, but I know at one stage one was president, one was secretary of the PNC. My mother was on the ground committee of Quakers Hill Primary School to establish Quakers Hill East Primary School, and there was three of them on the ground committee, and they had to decide which parcel of land to purchase for the new school, and the reasons why, and the education then department then purchased the land that actually my mother decided would be the best. And she was on that committee for many, many years. My parents were both A-grade tennis players, and that is perhaps why we didn't do a lot on weekends, because my parents were away or at home playing tennis. We had a tennis court over the road from our house, and that was their home court. I do remember finals one day, and my father was in the mixed doubles men's final, and my baby sister fell into a dam and got entangled in barbed wire, and we went running up and said that Sue had fallen in the water, and my father had to run off the court, and they were leading 4-0. And in the first set, and my dad dived in and tore his leg on the barbed wire and got my sister out, and she was ultimately fine. And then an hour and a half later, after she'd gone to the hospital, presumably to Parramatta, and was treated, my father came back to finish the game, and he never won a game after that.
Oh,
I always remember that. And my parents... my mother was an extremely well-known craftswoman in the area, and in fact growing up she went to tech for cake decorating, millinery, floral arrangements, dressmaking, anything to do with crafts my mother learnt properly about. And she was very renowned towards the end of her life for her Fabergé eggs. And in fact, as I said to you, I lost my mum in a car accident, but 2 weeks before that she just won first prize at the Royal Easter Show for her model of the coach that Australia had given the Queen. And she made the egg, and it was a replica of the coach. and my father was, and they were both very involved in the Lapidary Club. And my father was president of Parramatta Holroyd Lapidary Club for many years, and I think they've been in it, they have been in it over 30 years. And we used to go on expeditions and look for petrified wood and agate and things. So we learnt, we had a very varied life, I can honestly say, growing up and even to today, which my daughter would probably disagree with, but I could honestly say I've never said I'm bored, because I never have been, because there's always something to do. But
you had that role model to follow, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Your parents,
oh,
being yes. active people.
Yep.
So when you got married, after you left school, what sort of work did you do? Did you come into the post office?
No, I the first 2 years of my life, interestingly enough, my father...
Excuse me.